Good morning. Welcome to Tamara Lee's Trend On, engaging your audience to trend on you. I'm your host, Tamara Lee, founder of Tamara Lee LLC, a communications expertise company meeting the needs of clients on multiple communication platforms from mobile, social, and content to image and style consulting. And we are part of the Link Local Network. So thank you for joining us, along with my co-host, Heidi Feemster. Good morning, Heidi.
Good morning, Tamara. How are you?
I am doing well. Of course, we had a good sports weekend and a bad sports weekend. So, did you watch the Packers?
No, I didn't. I know you always ask me that, and no, I didn't.
I know. Now I do that just because.
I know. So I won't have the answer.
That's true. The Packers won. It was a great game against the Washington Redskins. But the big sports news over the weekend, that we're a sports radio show, but I always have to talk a little bit of sports, is that the Badgers game against ASU, Arizona State University, ended just ridiculously with a no-call end to the game where the Badgers were setting up to be able to kick a field goal to win. The refs blew the officiating no penalty and delay a game. They ran off the field. So ASU got the win, but it was really the Badgers were robbed of their chance. So they didn't really win or lose. They just stopped the game before it really ended. So at 1:30 in the morning Saturday night, Twitter blew up. So definitely the new trend on sports engagement and watching is that the social media is part of the game experience now, and it provided fans a healthy outlet to rant about the bad calling on the Badger game. So
yeah. That's
that for our sports weekend. And then I just want to mention my new Giant Cheesehead video is out, too, on YouTube and on the Link Local Network, so you can check that out with a new Giant Cheesehead Part 2 on the Great Games of the Gridiron. But for today's show, we have an exciting show coming up, and it's not so much football, but definitely a national concern of how is your financial security, and are your savings, retirement, and investment plans working for you? If you've got questions, you can call in live to the show at 323-580-5755. And our Tamara Lee's Trend On with Heidi Feemster, our guest today is Tricia Croner, Certified Financial Educator of Steadfast Income Planning Group of Chicago. And Tricia's mission is to help Americans obtain financial security in their retirement years and uses her expertise to increase her clients' cash flow and net worth. So great content coming up on our show today with just a dynamic guest whose business has grown out of the great need for understanding and navigating our way through the changes of Social Security. So we will have Tricia on with us in a minute. But Heidi, first, do you have a shout-out to our sponsors?
I do. We'd like to thank Mediavine Marketing, simplifying social media for successful businesses and professionals through training, consulting, and management. Mediavine Marketing, minimizing your efforts and maximizing your results. We'd also like to thank Manditech, the Chicago area technology company that has the right solution for your business, increasing your visibility and profit with technology. We'd also like to thank ZipBoss.com, a professional business cloud built and maintained by Metasoft, Inc. ZipBoss, create, market, succeed, where powerful websites are born. Thank you, Tamara, and thank you to our sponsors.
Hey. Yes, thank you, Heidi, for that little shout-out there. We would also like to say that Trend On is brought to us also by IM Marketing, Integrated Mobile Marketing. And if you haven't joined the mobile revolution, we can help you to get your desktop site optimized for mobile, as there are 1,150,000 devices activated daily, and 90 million Americans access the web via their mobile devices. So Google has reported a 500% increase in local searching. IM Marketing can help you engage your customers. They can find you. They can walk customers to your door through their mobile devices. As we know, mobile phones are not just about making phone calls. They are about engaging and activating our call to actions with finding your businesses, searching for information, getting maps, directions, all of that, which are optimized on a mobile device for easy-to-use format. So more information on that, you can contact us here at Tamara Lee's Trend On, at Tamara Lee, TamaraLeeGhLLC.com or TamaraLeeLLC@gmail.com for more information on that. And IM Marketing is our sponsor for Heidi Feimster's Business Minute.
ERP or Enterprise Resource Planning is very complex to implement. Stories about failed implementations go on and on. Over the past few months, I've talked about ways to optimize your ERP implementation and avoid the pitfalls. One more way to do this is prepare the data for migration earlier rather than later. Business data is at the heart of every ERP solution, and it must be migrated from your legacy database to the new ERP system. To be effective in the system, data must be accurate, complete, and consistent. That means cleaning it before migration. Start cleaning your data early in the implementation and create data entry standards that will be in place by the time the system is live. Next time, more on ERP. Thank you, Tamara.
Thank you, Heidi. So today we have just a couple of really smart women besides Heidi, who is our producer on Tamara Lee's Trend On and co-host. Heidi is the president and managing partner at Manditech LLC. And you can connect with Heidi also at Heidi Feimster and follow us on Twitter at Tamara Lee LLC. And I should mention that the Link Local Network is part of a networking organization for professionals who utilize social media to promote their businesses and accomplish their goals with a strong local, national, and international following. So link locally, connect globally at linklocalnetwork.com. And you can find today's show via the link as well as our past Tamara Lee's Trend On shows and blog post on my website, TamaraLeeLLC.com, in addition to the Link Local Network website under radio show hosts. And check out Link Local Network as we have some other great shows in our lineup from Biz Buzz with Katherine Johns and Michelle Rumpel out of the Chicago area, Segway to Success with Brent Hamachek and Tom Kuchin, the Empowerment Show with Melissa Heisler, and The Mighty Mind, our newest show, joining the Link Local Network. So check those all out at linklocalnetwork.com. And now, finally, to get to our guest today, we want to welcome Tricia Kroner. Again, Tricia is a financial consultant, certified financial educator. And so she brings to us her knowledge and expertise in the murky, muddy mess that we most Americans think of as Social Security. And when you're in your young 20s, you think, oh, my gosh, retirement and Social Security, all that is such a far-off thing. And then, whoosh, there goes life, and you find yourself looking at, gosh, I'm just a few years away from retirement. What does that mean for me? So a lot of big implications and a lot of confusion with the government of what is going on. So today, Tricia is going to help us sort through some of all that with her expertise. Good morning, Tricia.
Good morning. Thank you for that wonderful introduction, by the way. How are you this morning?
No pressure now.
Right, exactly.
I have no doubt you can more than handle this and talk your way through us, because I am in that crowd of like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe. The only good thing about getting older, this is the only time I'm a little bit excited to turn maybe an age that I have some retirement benefits available soon. Not
yes.
that I'm throwing my double AARP or whatever that is away. Like, they're telling me I'm getting older.
And, you know, you're so right about how fast the time goes. I mean, I can remember, like you said, when I was in my 20s, and all of a sudden now I'm 50, and I'm going, oh, my gosh, where did the time go? And it's so important to plan. Even, you know, all throughout our 20s, 30s, 40s, we should be thinking about retirement and planning for it, because it does come so fast.
Our mindset should be we're working to retire.
Right, right. What is our why? Yeah, why are we working?
Yeah.
We're working so we can enjoy life sometime down the road.
Yeah, and I always thought they had that backwards. Maybe the younger generation is doing that better, where they're experiencing more of life in their 20s. I don't care if I work when I'm old, because what else am I going to do?
Right, right.
So before we get started into digging really into Social Security, why don't you give us maybe a little bit more in depth about your background than what I just,
sure.
I'm sure I just scratched the surface there on that introduction.
Okay. Sure. Well, I got started doing what I'm doing several years ago because I had a I ended up unfortunately getting divorced, which was not my choice, but when I got divorced, I had my IRA I had through, it was called the Quadro, was my husband's retirement account. It was an IRA. Did not know what to do with it. I was confused, and there's so much information out there. Didn't know what to do. So what I ended up doing is taking the recommendation of my attorney and going to see a financial professional to invest that IRA and make it work for me. So what ended up happening is, long story short, I ended up losing half of it because he had invested it in really risky investments, and that was really my nest egg. I couldn't afford to lose that money. So what I did was I got very proactive.
Terrible.
Yeah, it was a shame. So I just got very proactive, and because I couldn't, I just said, what happens if the rest of it's gone? I mean, I just felt like I was not being taken care of, and my needs were not being heard. So I got very proactive. I educated myself. I went got this financial education through the Heartland Institute of Financial Education, which is actually a nonprofit, and got very proactive and found safer place to put my IRA, a safer place to put my money so that I would not continue to lose and I could actually make it grow and get lifetime income. So, you know, that's how I started my business because I thought, you know what, there's got to be other people out there who need this. And then what happened is along this journey of helping people keep their money safe, my business has started to evolve into other things. Now my focus is income planning and making sure that you have the income, the cash flow to meet your expenses every month that you need. And how do we accomplish that? And there's a few different ways. And Social Security has come into play into that because 40%, Social Security is about 40% of our income in retirement. So that's a pretty big number. So we need to make sure that we're maximizing that amount every month for Social Security, making sure it's not getting taxed more than it should be, and making sure that we are maximizing that amount that we get from Social Security.
Okay, so just a little bit of a basic overview. How does Social Security work overall? Is that too broad?
How does it work overall?
Like asking you to explain DNA in 2 seconds.
How does it work? Okay. Well, basically what happens is, you know, you work all your life. While you're working, you're putting money into it's called the Social Security system. And so you're putting money in as you're working. And that's basically how it works. And then what happens is once you reach retirement age, and that's different depending on your birth date and birth year, then you're able to take those benefits as a paycheck, a monthly paycheck.
And what if you never worked?
Well, if you don't work and you're married, then you are able to collect benefits under your spouse.
Okay, what if you're married, divorced, and then... Just curious.
So, yeah, and that would be good question that I get a lot because, unfortunately, in our country, I guess, there's a lot of divorce. What happens is if you are divorced, you can collect under your ex-spouse, and how that works is you have to have been married for at least 10 years. If you're married for at least 10 years, you have to be 62. So then once you turn 62, you can go in and collect under his Social Security, and it will not affect how much he gets.
Oh, so that's
yeah.
Very good to know. Okay, I got my answer, my question answered. I'm going to be okay. So check that off my list.
There you go.
Oh, no, this would be so personal. Okay, so...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if we have that, really we're working the whole time, and that's part of needing that younger workforce to be working and contributing, how much is paid by you versus how much is paid by your employer?
Well, 6.2% is paid by you, and then it's the same amount is paid by the employer. And that is kind of a problem that we are having in actually, if you look at current Social Security statements, it will say on there that if without changes, the Social Security system is going to be having some real problems in the future. I think it's actually underfunded right now already because there aren't as many people putting into the system, there aren't as many workers putting into the system as there was, like, say, when the baby boomer generation was out there working. Now the baby boomer generation is moving into retirement, and so we're taking, the baby boomers are taking money out of the system, and there isn't enough to replenish it. So it is going to be, it is going to end up being a problem in this country.
So fundamentally, go ahead, Heidi.
Are we experiencing some sort of technical difficulties? I've got music playing in the background.
I'm fine. I'm not hearing anything.
You're not hearing
it?
I'm not
hearing it.
Okay.
You heard your head.
I'm very sorry. It's coming through the radio. So, okay.
I don't know.
Ahead. Sorry.
What is it? Good music?
Not really.
Okay. We're fine. But thanks for talking.
Sure.
So, Tricia, is the system fundamentally broken? Can it be fixed? And I know that's a little bit off track of what, you know, we want to cover, but I think it's on everybody's mind.
It is on everybody's mind. And, you know, that's a question for really the politicians and whatnot. It's hard to say. I don't believe that our government's going to let the Social Security system go under. They'll just find other ways to fund it, and I believe one of the ways that they're going to make some changes is they're going to keep reducing the age for full retirement. So if you look at let's just say that you were born in 1942, your full retirement age would be considered 65 in 10 months. So your full retirement age would be 65 if you were born in the year 1942. Now, if you look at, like, when I was born, which was 1963, my full retirement age is 67. So as you can see, it's going up. And I think that they're going to keep continuing to raise that full retirement age, and that's one of the ways that they will keep the system going.
Well, I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing because, you know, with our better health for the most part, although that's, you know, controversial whether we actually are in better health. But maybe people will start having a more proactive mindset thinking, you know, I better take better care of my health
because
I am going to have to be working longer.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good way to look at it. You know, the younger people will become more aware that, hey, Social Security's not going to be there for me until I'm much older, so... You know, I need to put more money away now while I can. And, you know, the other thing is, too, we're all living a lot longer and staying pretty healthy as we age. So it might not necessarily be a bad thing. I mean, change is pretty, that's life. Change, you know, there's a lot of change in life.
Well, and I think if we have the security of work and employment and we're able to do that, I think for a lot of people that's not a bad option.
Right.
I mean, So, okay, so as we go along, if we backtrack into how it actually functions, so we're working, a portion is paid by us, a portion is paid by the employer, then how many credits are needed to receive benefits?
Yeah, so...
What are credits?
So what the Social Security system is what they do is they give you credits. So in order to receive your benefits, you have to have at least 40 credits, which is over a 40-year period. So you have to accumulate 10 credits for, each year. So you have to have a total of 40 credits. And how they came up with that, I have no idea, but they did.
the mystery of government.
Yeah, I don't know where they come up with some of this stuff. So the most credits that you can receive in 1 year is 4.
Okay. So how many credits annually for, like, $1,160?
Yeah, so that would be 1.
Okay. And then what is the maximum benefit for, like, 2013?
Well, yeah, and then what they do is they put a cap on the maximum amount of benefit, and for 2013 that was about $2,500. Now, that may go up as well because once we start having inflation, if we have inflation down the road, they may increase that as well. So there are some changes going on as well.
Excuse me. So, what? I guess we kind of addressed this when I asked about the divorce scenario. But what happens if you work less than that 35 years?
Well, what happens is they will take a look at all of the years that you've worked, and if you worked, let's just say you worked less than 35 years, then the years that you didn't work, there would be a zero. You would get a zero credit.
Oh, okay.
So the missing years are counted as zero, basically.
So then what would be the maximum taxable income on your... Are you taxed on your Social Security? See, this is... I know nothing.
That's a good question. And actually, there was a bill that one of our vice presidents signed in was Al Gore. He signed in a bill that allows our Social Security benefits to be taxed. And the highest tax rate on our Social Security is 85%. Then the next amount is 50%, and then zero. So our goal is to have our Social Security taxed at 0%, of course, so that we can maximize our Social Security benefits. Now, what do they consider, and I might be jumping ahead of myself a little bit here, but I just want to kind of go over this. How they tax Social Security benefits is based on your income. And so it's different if you're single, and it's different if you're married. And so what happens is if you're single, if you make between $25,000 and $34,000 a year in income, then 50% would be taxable. And then if you make over $34,000, then 85% would be taxable. If you're married, the numbers change. If you're married, it's a little bit more. So if you make between $32,000 and $44,000 in income, 50% of your it could be taxed. And then if you're over $44,000 in income, household income, 85%.
That seems like double dipping because you've already paid taxes on that income.
Absolutely it is. And yes, that's right. We have already paid tax on it. And now when we collect our benefits, we're being taxed again. But there are ways to make sure that that doesn't happen. The things that they include in that income threshold are things that your pensions, they consider half of your Social Security as your income, pension. And then investments. Any investments that are throwing off income are also included in that income. And what happens is sometimes people think that because they have municipal bonds and they're not taxed, that's not going to be included in your income, but it actually is.
So you help people, you look at the whole financial picture for their retirement years. And
absolutely.
I'll come up with a plan that you're actually having more income that can still have leftover income once those tax liabilities are taken out of.
Yep. So again, my focus is maximizing the income cash flow that you have monthly during retirement. And so by keeping your Social Security, the goal is to have it not taxed at all, if possible. And so that would maximize the amount you're getting in Social Security income. And then, you know, where's the gap? Then we also have, if we have other, you know, like I said, 40% is about our income is Social Security. So where's the other 60% going to come from? Well, it's going to come from either your IRA or savings, or if you have a pension, or if you're making, still maybe working. But so what we would do is just use some other vehicles, some other investment type things that would not throw off income to, you know, put your money in so that you would not be taxed on your Social Security. Because, again, the goal is to maximize those Social Security benefits.
Okay, I was glad you said that, because I was thinking, okay, we're radio, but I would really like kind of a pie graphic of what does the average retirement financial pie look like in terms of what you have to live on at that stage of your life. So 40% would be your Social Security.
Other 60%
is divided up by your investments.
And, you know, if you have an IRA, then you would be using maybe your IRA. At 70 and a half, you have to take out distributions from your IRA, so that would be some of your income that you would use during, you know.
I have a question. If you decide to take, like, a part-time job and you're collecting Social Security, does that impact how much you get?
If you continue working past your full retirement age, then your benefits could be reduced, yes.
They could be if you're, okay.
So then you would want to look carefully at what kind of employment you continue to do.
That's right.
Yes.
It might be more financially advantageous for you actually not to work.
That sounds good, doesn't it? Yeah, I mean, really, that's what we have to watch, and that's what I do. Also, my focus, again, like I said, is just watching the amount of money that you've got coming in, considered as income. So, because we want to keep that threshold below those amounts, so your Social Security is not taxed.
Okay, so if you got a job at Walmart, could you just write that off as entertainment expenses? Instead of income.
I don't know,
I'm only working for the entertainment value.
Right. Yeah, that'd be, I wonder what the IRS would say about that. Oh, gosh. One thing I do want to mention, though, is for people who have not taken Social Security yet and are getting ready to or almost ready to, I don't advise having the Social Security Administration withhold taxes. And the reason being is that once they start taking taxes out of your Social Security, first of all, you don't really know how much you're going to be taxed or if you even need to be taxed on your Social Security. Once they put that in place, it's very hard to change it.
Go ahead, and then I'll ask a question.
Yeah, so it's best really to not have them withhold any tax at all. And then if you have to, you know, owe some tax at the end toward, you know, then pay that. But once you tell the Social Security Administration to take out tax, it's very hard to change it. And if they're taking out more than they should, then that's not good. So
that's a huge important piece of information to know before you're going through your paperwork for your Social Security.
Yeah.
Don't check that box.
Right. Right.
Just think about that. It's always hard to wrestle money out of the hands of government once they have it.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's worse than getting your kids to pay you back.
No, you're not going to get them to pay back.
Okay. We talked about full retirement age a little bit, FRA. So is there a place where you can find out based on your birth year when your retirement?
Yeah, you can go to the Social Security, Social Security website. You can go to SSA.com, and there's a lot of information on there. They are actually, at the Social Security Administration, they're actually forbidden to give any kind of financial advice or, if you ask them, they're actually forbidden to give you advice. So, and a lot of times I have people will come to me and say, well, I went to the Social Security Administration and this is what they told me, and they end up getting wrong information. So I wouldn't
really. Oh, there's a big surprise. Shocked by that.
Right. Well, they're not trained professionals. They're trained, what they do is basically they help you fill out the forms that are necessary, and that's about all that they can really do.
I shouldn't say that. I mean, against the employees at the Social Security office. I'm sure they are fine, knowledgeable employees.
Right. Yes, they can help you do paperwork. They can help you file. But as far as strategies for filing, they do not know, and they are forbidden, actually, to give you any advice.
Yeah. So just know that going into it. You just are going to strictly get information, and the onus is on you to muddle through it and figure it out.
Right, and then that's how I started doing this, helping people figure out, when's the best time to take, what's the best, should I file under my husband or wife or, that's how I got started helping people figure all this Social Security stuff out, because there's just not enough information out there.
Well, and you really do need, it's like trying to fix your own tooth. You really do need someone who is knowledgeable, up to date, skilled, and versed in all of the ramifications of everything, because it's really in your best interest, your financial health, to do so.
Right. And I just met with a woman who's retired. She's been retired for a while, and she said to me, my broker, I love him, he's a great guy, but he does not know anything about the Social Security, how to maximize it or how it might be taxed or any of that. And she said, if they're dealing with people who are retired and collecting Social Security, they should really be up on that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. And, exactly.
Yeah.
That's such a huge component of your financial well-being at that important stage of life.
Yes.
So.
And the other thing is, when you're talking about maximizing Social Security benefits, another reason why it's so important is because if we don't, we may end up having to dip into our investments or savings or some, later down the road, where we may not have had to if we would have been maximizing those benefits. And then we're putting ourselves at risk of running out of money if we're tapping in too much into our investments.
Okay, so that was my next question. I wanted to kind of get into one of increasing your benefits, reduce your benefits, and then the strategy for either receiving or delaying receiving your benefits.
Okay.
So what can reduce your benefits?
Well, if you start taking benefits before your full retirement age, then it's at a reduced rate. So if you look at if you take your benefits at age 62, you're only going to be getting 75% of your full amount. So that actually is going to reduce your benefits. And over a lifetime, if you're looking at a 20-year period, if you live to be 82, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, that you've given up because you've started dipping earlier.
Correct, yep. And so if you wait, delaying your benefits every year is going to make them go up.
Okay, so you get to that full retirement age.
Right.
And then once you reach that full retirement age, then your benefits are set at that 100%?
Right. So at age 70, your benefits are at the 132% of your benefits, age 70. So, if you can wait until age 70, that's the best thing to do. However, as I said, if you can wait, there are a lot of cases where people can't wait. They have to start taking at age 62 or 66 or whatever age it is because of health issues.
What would be some of those reasons why someone wouldn't be able to wait?
Yeah, because,
the physical, the labor sector of our economy,
right.
I can see where that would be hard because physically you cannot do the functions of the job anymore.
Right, exactly. So it is a real personal, decision to make when you talk about, the strategy that you're going to use for Social Security because, like I said, some people can't wait. You have to take it because your health is, your health is an issue or some other life event has happened where you need the money. So sometimes it's just not possible to wait.
Okay, so the other thing I wanted to get into is the whole area of cola, and I'm guessing we're not talking my Diet Coke.
No.
So what is cola, and how does that impact our financial retirement security?
Yeah, so that's a cost of living increase is what COLA is, and Social Security sets that, and they decide what they're going to give for the COLA.
The COLA would be an acronym for cost of living adjustment?
Yeah,
or,
right.
Yeah?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so there were actually a couple years where the Social Security Administration said we're not going to give an increase at all. There's going to be none. They froze it. And that was actually in 2010 and 2011. I'm sure that some of our people who were receiving benefits remember those years because people I meet with are like, oh, yeah, I remember that year. They don't forget that. Yeah,
of course not.
Right.
That's the year they couldn't go on the vacation they were hoping to.
Exactly. But, what's interesting is that this year they decided it was going to be a 1.7%. In 1980, it was actually 14%, which is a huge increase. So,
wow.
It varies very, very widely depending on what's going on in the economy and what the Social Security Administration decides to do.
I was going to say, and the Social Security Administration, is that something, so then it looks at the economic conditions of the day and then sets it accordingly?
Yeah, that's what they do. Mm-hmm.
So really, it's in the best interest of everybody for the economy to be doing well.
Oh, sure. Yep.
Yeah. So as that impacts our retirement.
Mm-hmm.
So 14% was probably the highest for the COLA?
Yeah. Yep, that was the highest, and that was in 1980.
Wow, that would have been a good year.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think we talked about kind of the two primary factors in deciding when to collect and making informed decisions, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then who receives the COLA? Is that everybody on Social Security or?
Oh, yeah, those who have not started taking it yet. And everybody, really. So people who are taking it and the ones who have not started yet as well. Yep.
Okay, so let's talk for a minute about whether you're married or single and the implications of either of those scenarios because
mm-hmm.
either you're
yep.
married or you're not, usually. It's one of those two options.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Are there advantages to either one?
Well,
I could marry.
Are you asking me personally or are you asking me?
I don't know. Do I need to go shopping in a hurry before my next birthday?
Oh, my gosh. Well, remember, you have to be married for at least 10 years to collect under your husband. And if you had several different husbands, which, like Elizabeth Taylor, remember Elizabeth Taylor? She had the high husband. Yeah, right. You can collect under the husband who made the most money. So whoever's Social Security was the highest is the husband that you could collect under if you had several different husbands.
Really?
But remember, you had, yeah. Well, it's vice versa, too, for the men, too. Men can collect under their ex-spouses as well. But you have to be married for at least 10 years and be 62.
Okay. All right. So it's kind of like back in the 80s when the housing market was so good and, you know, our generation could, like, flip houses. So if you're smart, strategically flip husbands.
Yeah.
That's good, Tara.
Yeah.
You probably don't include that in your financial planning. So.
Oh, goodness. Okay.
That might be my new business career in counseling.
Oh, gosh. Well, and also, adding one more thing is your ex-spouse does not need to have filed in order for you to collect. So a lot of people think, because sometimes when you're divorced, you get a pension, you know, like my cousin gets a pension from her husband who was a plumber, but she can't get her pension until he starts collecting his pension when he's retired. But it's not like that with Social Security. So once I turn 62, I can start collecting under my ex-husband's Social Security. And he doesn't have to have claimed, he doesn't have to have filed, he doesn't have to be retired. It's not going to affect his amount that he's going to get at all.
So for Demi Moore, that would be really good news because Ashton can keep working for a long time and she can collect.
Yeah. Right.
Were they married for 10 years, though?
Oh, I don't know if they made it that far.
Don't know.
Should I let them just go play and just stay married till she hit that 10-year mark? At least
yep.
I wasn't advising her on the smart way to go for that.
Right. Maybe she needs to call me.
That's true. Or she might be okay on her own.
Yeah, I think she is. I think she's doing okay.
Okay. But that's really good information because I think a lot of divorced people don't know that. Mm-hmm. I think you're just so muddling through divorce.
Yeah.
And you're just thinking, you know, in the moment of dividing your assets and trying to function in your new divorce thing and the retirement and the benefits and all of that aren't really factored into that equation unless you have a really good attorney or a financial advisor like yourself that knows how to deal with that. You know what? I have a good attorney contact. I should connect the two of you for just a little aside. Notes to self after the show.
Yeah. Well, and it helps that that I've been through some of these scenarios as well. You know, like I said, how I got started doing this with keeping money safe to begin with. You know, it does help that I've been, I guess I've actually experienced these things. So it helps coming from that perspective.
Well, sure, because you know the personal implications and how valuable and life-saving is. And unfortunately, you had to learn the hard way of losing so much money. Were you able to recoup that, or is there a possible or hope for people if they've lost to be able to recoup what they might have lost in bad investments?
Absolutely. And that is, I'm on track now because of, like I said, getting proactive and doing the research that I did for myself. And I continue to do that research. And so my clients and the people that I meet benefit from that. And so I absolutely have my money in a safe place now. I can't lose it. It's guaranteed by the company that I can never lose my money, and it can only go up. And so I am on the right track. Yeah, absolutely. And that's the information that I share with other people. Because when we're talking about getting towards retirement, we cannot afford to lose the amount of money that we need for income. We need to keep that amount
safe. Sure. Yeah. What percentage of Americans 65 and older receive Social Security benefits? Do you know?
Oh, I'm sorry. Say it again.
With that
percentage of
the percentage of Americans 65 and older receiving Social Security? Like what, if you look at our population, how does that pie look like of percentages we have?
Well, it's just about everybody. It's like 90%. It's just about everybody. Because we all put into the system pretty much, I mean, other than, like you said, people who maybe were stay-at-home moms or something like that, but even them, they can collect under their husband. So, you know, it's almost everybody's collecting Social Security.
And then is Social Security the one I'm trying to think? I had a friend in high school whose parents both died and she was a minor. And I think, would that be under some Social Security benefits that,
Yes.
So it's not just if you're retiring age, but Social Security benefits can also be
for children. Yes.
Yeah.
Minors.
So that
yeah.
would have to be the case, the scenario there. That.
Yeah. So, like, if your husband passed away, then your children can also receive benefits under him.
Okay.
So. Yeah, it would be widow benefits and then also for the children.
Is there a case where you can, you know, if your income is reduced, it's what is that percentage? Your typical working income, does it automatically have to be a lesser amount that you are living on in retirement, or is that part of the financial planning where you look to ways to make sure your income might remain the same as if you were working, or is it just a given that once you retire, you're going to have less to live on? Does that make sense?
well, no, we want to make sure what we want to do is try to maximize, again, the cash flow every month of income that you have. And there's, like I said, there's a few different ways to do that. And Social Security, like I said, is about 40% of your income needs while you're retired. So then we've got 60%. Where is that going to come from? And so, you know, like I said, we look at pension. If there's pensions, those are actually going away now. Companies aren't offering pensions anymore. But a lot of people.
What is
then,
pension compared to Social Security, and what's the impact of that with companies eliminating pensions?
So that means that we have to, with companies eliminating pensions, that means that we have to rely on our own ability to save and have money of our own to live on during retirement.
So it used to be that part of your wage or what an employer was paying you as an employee was not just your monthly paycheck that they gave you, but they were also taking a portion of money and setting aside in a pension fund for you that was building a savings for you when you retired, right?
Yep.
And that they're not doing anymore.
Yeah, a lot of companies have stopped funding pensions. They've stopped offering that as a benefit to, working there. So, again, it goes back to we have to be really vigilant in saving and relying on ourselves to make sure that we have a comfortable retirement.
Okay. So that's a big thing that's shifted and changed for especially younger people coming up now. You have to look at that whole package of your employment. So, so what does the future hold, do you think? For Social Security and for our aging population as we wrap up here?
You know, nobody has a crystal ball. You know, nobody can really predict the future. Again, like I said, I don't think that we'll ever do away with the Social Security system. I think my opinion is what will happen is we'll see a lot of changes. We're going to start seeing changes with retirement accounts as well, IRAs. I think they're going to start lowering the full retirement age as a way to be able to keep the Social Security fund going. I think that they may end up reducing our benefits you know, probably not offering a cost of living adjustment in, you know, in bad years and stuff. So I think that we are going to see a lot of changes, and that's things that we really need to plan for. So.
And we have to make our voices known in terms of what, as Americans, as we decide and have a proactive voice in how that change is going to look and impact us. And it's not that change necessarily is always a bad thing, but you want to make sure you're proactive so that it isn't.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, and again, making sure that you've got your money is kept safe and in places that's not, you know, not real risky, and making sure that you can have, you know, income for, you know, coming in while you're retired so you can live a good, comfortable retirement, and, you know, really protecting what you have when you're in retirement or getting near to retirement. It's about protecting what you've saved and what you have.
And being proactive, having a plan.
Yes, yes, planning.
Okay, so if someone wanted to get a hold of you and take advantage of all of your expertise and your financial counseling, because I'm sure it's a much, much needed resource, mm-hmm. how would people get a hold of you?
Yeah, so if somebody wants some more information on their particular situation, because everybody's situation is very different, very personal, they could give me a call, and they can call me at 815-351-7515.
Okay, you want to repeat that again? Because now we are getting that music in the background.
Sure. My number again is 815-351-7515.
And do you have a website or no?
I do. My website is pretty cool, too, if you want to check that out. It's steadfastincomegroup.com.
Well, that's easy enough, so. Uh-huh. All right. Well, I want to thank you for being our guest today on Trend On. It was, I learned a lot, and I'm sure it's valuable information that we really just kind of scratched the surface, but it's good to have that overview. And then...
Yep.
At your financial situation and really take advantage of resources like you out there to be proactive and healthy.
So. Yes, thank you for having me on the show, and you know, by having me on and sharing the information that I have, because that's really all I do, is I just share the knowledge that I have with other people. You know, having me on the show is that way of helping other people and giving the information that's out there, that's not out there really. So
right.
Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it. And you're helping a lot of people by having me on. So, yeah.
Our pleasure. It was just a delight. And the good thing, again, is that with the link, you can share the show. So if people mm-hmm. didn't happen to catch it, we will certainly share that so they can get a good overview of why it's important and some of the key things to look for. So thank you again.
Right.
And, you know, maybe we'll have you back on and we can do an update on things as it's an always changing dynamic landscape. Thank you, Tricia.
Yeah, sure. Okay, thanks.
And now as we wrap up our Tamralee's Trend On, of course, we always have to have our Fashion Minute. Well, we don't have to, but I love to have our Fashion Minute. And this past week, of course, Fashion Week's going on. We wrapped up New York Fashion Week with some of the highlights looking for spring, which the value of knowing what's ahead for spring 2014 is now, I always like to keep an eye out towards a great bargain. And so if you have an eye to what's going to be trending next spring, you can look to the end of the year clearance sales and pick up pieces that will add to it, that will have a fresh look for next year, and you can add a little cost savings to your fashion. So some of the highlights from New York Fashion Week, which according to our Trend On guest in the past, Kimberly Gomez, when she talked about her behind-the-scenes experience working at New York Fashion Week last year, she said, actually, New York Fashion Week is the most conservative of the fashion weeks out there. This week, of course, New York Fashion Week London is going on, and London tends to be the most outrageous. Of course, not surprising there with the eclecticness of London culture. And so you go from one extreme to the other of more conservative here in America and New York to the outrageousness of London. But some of the highlights, according to New York Daily News from New York Fashion Week, was Ralph Lauren is a splash of fluorescent color. So look to next spring, some of those bright neons, but not the neons, just more of your brighter tones out there from Ralph Lauren. And Tom Brown was bigger than life, zombie looks. Of course, the zombie influence huge with Walking Dead and shows like that. And so Tom Brown featured a lot of black and white motifs with blood red splashes of color, which is always pretty dynamic. Kind of reminded me, I can't think of that one actress name, who Alice, I'll think of it in a minute, but kind of that, you know, cryptic look with the whites, the stark whites, and some of the zombie-ish looks there, very cool. So give that a Google if you want to see that, just for fun, especially with Halloween coming up. You can look to Tom Brown for some costuming ideas for getting that zombie look. And then Oscar de la Renta was fresh, flirty, and feminine for spring. So, of course, I love that. Right up, therefore, still carrying that femininity in the detailing. And the 20-era beading was big, but in unexpected detailing, like the waistline versus the flapper fringe. So some of the highlights from New York. Also, blondes, crazy pop culture. And you can check out all of those on the New York Fashion Week and then the London Fashion Week list of events or what's going on there. Milwaukee has jumped on the Fashion Week bandwagon and is celebrating Fashion Week in a big way here around Milwaukee with events going on. And you can find out more about Fashion Week in Milwaukee at fashionweekmke.com for some events that we're having around here locally. And, of course, Chicago is always one of the big areas of fashion style. It's a center for world-class fashion, and walking Michigan Avenue is a treat in and of itself for all of us who love fashion. And our Fashion Minute is brought to us by Jay Hilburn Custom Luxury Menswear, and their fall line is out, and we've got promotional fall pricing. So if you want to save time and not shop from store to store, save your man some mall legs by having the personal custom service of a style advisor, and we can bring the convenience of shopping from your home or office, the benefits of a custom fit, the quality and value of a luxury menswear without breaking the bank, and the opportunity to meet all of your wardrobe needs. So discover Jay Hilburn for yourself, luxury within reach, and you can contact me at Tamara Lee, fashion style consultant in menswear at Jay Hilburn at Tamara Lee LLC.com under Image Consulting or at Tamara.Lee at jhilburnpartners.com. And you can find all of our information on the Link Local Network and on my Tamara Lee LLC.com under Trend On for today's show. And we want to thank you for joining us. And next week we will look to having our guest, Russell Warnberg, who is a writer, author of Edge of Redemption. And we are going to talk about the creative process. He is from University of Southern Maine, history and author, and then talking about air balloons. We will have a guest on who does air balloons here in the South Wisconsin region. We, for a gift, had given my dad an air balloon ride, and we chased the air balloon, and so he's going to join us on the show and talk a little bit about that experience as well. So join us next week at 10 a.m. live every Wednesday on the Link Local Network for Tamara Lee's Trend On with Heidi Feimster. And you can find out all of this information again at thelinklocalnetwork.com as well. Thanks, Heidi.
Thanks, Tamara.
Got the music under control here at the end, huh?
I did, yes.
Or should we have a little music to go out with? We'll just say goodbye.
Let's not.
And thanks again,
okay.
Tricia. All right. Have a good one.
You too. Bye.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.